fourth quarter, final hour on a Thursday. We're talking some rule changes in the NFL. I like a few of these that you guys are sending in. Let us know what you change or if you like any of the things we're talking about. 303-713-1043. A few rule changes were trade deadline being pushed back. These are proposals from NFL teams wanting to challenge everything in the final 2 minutes of games. And the onside kick being eliminated for a 4th and 20. There were a few texts here. I like this one. Any field goal over 55 yards is worth 4 points?
No.
Why? We want more points,
no,
don't we?
Oh, come on. Like, what are we doing? This isn't like arena ball. Come on. No. Canadian, like, we're going to start running towards the line of scrimmage before we hike it and stuff.
I actually love that.
Huh?
That's cool.
Come on. No, we can't do that. It's like, I don't want to mess with the fabric of the game. Like, field goals are 3. I don't care if it's 65, 35, 45 for me. That's where I'm at. Now, if you want to spice it up and do it, I guess that's you, but there's still an essence that you have to keep the core of the core. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You don't want a 4-point shot in the NBA?
No, no, no.
Another little arc, you know?
No.
A line that you stand behind?
You?
No, I don't.
Okay, gosh.
I love the NBA.
Right.
I love the NFL as well, but I'm open to a few more of these. But you keep saying you can't change the fabric. Like, they're changing it in front of our eyes.
What? But I'm talking about certain things. Like, certain things, like a field goal is 3 points. A touchdown is 6.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's 20, 40, 60, or 80 yards. Like, all of a sudden, we can't make a 60-yard touchdown worth 8 points. See, I don't like that. Field goals 3, touchdown 6, like certain things. I'm open to doing some changing, mm-hmm. but not on the core, my principles. Not changing my principles.
Okay, I like
the core
that.
Fabric of the game. Certain things are off the table for me.
And then somebody else, this is the 303-588 texter. It's a great point on that 4th and 20 or whatever it would be to eliminate the onside kick. 4th and 20 would be great until you had a controversial PI holding or roughing the passer that gave the offense a first down.
Oh, gosh.
And that's a great point.
Yeah,
you're just throwing it up there. The receiver has to come back to get it. Pass interference. Yeah. There's your first down.
Guy grazes the quarterback's face mask. Yeah. Roughing the passer. Like mm-hmm. first down. Wait, what? Yeah, that's a good point, and that would drive you nuts if your team was winning, and you got a bad call go against you, and they keep the ball and they score.
Yeah.
On that, at least on onside kicks, like you kind of know, it's either you're covered or not. There's mm-hmm. not like a ref just gave the game away type of penalty
right.
situation, right?
Right?
So yeah, I think that's a good point there.
Yeah, it's a good text there from the Ramoslaw.com text line. All right, a couple of things I'd like to see. This one I also saw on the text line. I'll give some of you guys credit that sent it in. We've talked about this before. College rules, pro rules, the same book. Do the same thing. Same field, same rules, college and pro. I need that to happen.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Pass interference, the hash marks, all that stuff should be the exact same.
College has to change.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah, who's going to change?
Well, college.
Well, but then college said, we don't want to change.
Well, you have to.
Oh, you have
yeah,
to?
Yeah.
Or what? Or what? What are you going to do?
Well, I won't watch.
Oh.
I will watch. I just think it's easier for scouts, for us, for the players. I mean, why is it different?
Yeah, I don't know. That's
it's
a good question.
How they
like
started?
The field. Why is the field different? I guess I'm not sure on that. You know why the two fields are a little bit different? Hash marks are closer. Hash marks are farther away. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
The ball's different size. It's
yeah. I will agree with you. I think hey, these guys in college now are talented enough 2 feet in.
Mm-hmm.
We can just make it 2 feet in. But it doesn't bother me all that much. The one rule that I do really hate in the NFL is that pass interference is a spot foul.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be, you know, third and whatever, and you throw it up for grabs, and the DB, their jobs are so hard as it is, and he just touches the guy, and a ref throws a flag, and
That's
it's
right.
automatic first. I don't like that. I don't like that that rule at all. I think, hey, if you want to give him 15 yards, perfect, give him 15 yards, but it's not an automatic first down also. That's what I'm talking about there. So I don't like that. Do you good with that?
I mean, I'm not. I actually am good with it. I'm good with it.
Okay.
I'm good with it.
And I don't mind the ball going out of the end zone. And
see, I got something for
okay,
that.
Okay, all right, go
I got
ahead. Something talk for that. To me.
Because I did originally, and you said, hey, we're literally coached that. And from the time we start playing football until we're done, we're coached about not reaching out in that instance. Because I was always like, man, that's stupid. Don't penalize them for that. Now I'm leaning all the way in. It's 2 points for the defense. It's like a safety.
Okay.
So if I'm running in and I reach out or you knock the ball out of my right. hands and uh-huh. it goes in the back of the end zone, I'm rewarding you for that
okay.
as the defense. I'm giving you 2 points and you still get the ball back.
And they have to kick off to you.
Right. It's like a free punt
right.
or whatever the you know
yeah.
how they do in a safety.
Right.
That's what I want it to be.
I don't mind that.
I'm leaning in on that
yeah.
instead of going away from it.
Right. Look at you.
Yeah.
Man. That's a big role reversal there.
I know. You had a good explanation. And
but then you take it to the next level
yeah.
there. And I'm with you. I don't mind that. I hadn't thought about that. I hadn't heard
it's
that.
It's more scoring. It's an exciting moment. The goal well, line's always a big play.
Right. And it just penalizes you a lot more
mm-hmm.
in that situation. Obviously, look, if you fumble it through the end zone and it's the other team's ball, then, I mean, you get penalized. That's a big penalty there on you, right? But now if you give them 2 points and the ball, it's what it should be, right? You ought to be penalized for reaching the ball out and getting it knocked out of your hands and it going in the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're going to reward that player? By saying, oh, no, it's all good. You can gamble. And even if you lose, you don't really lose. You still get the ball back. That makes no sense to me. I mean, it makes no sense to me. So I don't mind if you want to penalize them more by saying, hey, it's going to be a safety. I don't mind that at all.
What do you think about it, football fans? Would you like it? Would you not like it? What rules would you like to see be changed? I like we got a Canadian texting in, Stoke. They're mad at you. First, you bashed on the three stars, the
yeah,
hockey rule.
Yeah, I did. I think that's so, like, we're in the third grade and we're giving stars out as the kids walk in, you know, because they wore their mittens today. And here, you got 3 stars, Johnny. Good
yeah.
job. You had a... You were quiet today in reading time, and your nap was great. So here, you get 2 stars, Steve. I mean, like, why are we giving stars out to professional players every single game? I don't get it.
You know, this guy's wife is Canadian, so he's standing up for his wife.
Oh, cool, yeah.
Doesn't like the 3 stars.
Yeah.
And then said, and now you're going after the beloved Blue Bombers of the Winnipeg Canadian Football League.
Yeah, I did take a shot at them. I love
How dare
Canada.
You,
I love Canada. Oh, Canada.
They're upset for you, or he's upset, and he's standing up for his Canadian wife there. So good job, Tech.
Respect.
Standing
respect.
Up for the Canadian wife.
Yep.
I've never been to Canada. I'd like to go.
Never have, huh?
No. What's the Banff, I think, is the place, right?
Yeah, I went there this past year.
How was it?
It's great. Great. Canada's great.
Everybody's super nice, right? Isn't that the thing?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah. All right. What'd you yeah. do, play golf?
Yeah, play golf.
Up in Banff, huh?
Yep, up in Banff. Good spot. Obviously very beautiful. I mean, you got the mountains and all this. I mean, it's beautiful country. So good golf courses, fun. Been there a couple times
okay.
to golf. Yeah, good trip.
I'll get up to Canada. Summer trip to Banff sometime coming up soon. All right, we'll take a timeout. Want to come back. I want to talk a little bit more about quarterbacks. The Broncos still don't have one, and they lost another opportunity yesterday on a very, very cheap deal. Why weren't they in on it? We're going to have that conversation next.
You're listening to Stokely and Josh on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
It is 1:16. A snowy Thursday. Are you disappointed in the snow?
What?
Like,
why would
I be
disappointed?
Did you think it would be more than this?
But why would that disappoint me?
Well,
like,
I'm not
I don't get excited if it's 2 feet of snow.
We prepared for it, though.
That's okay. I won't be disappointed if it undersells
okay.
or underdelivers.
Okay.
I'm thinking about trying to get home now where we were going to just hover around mm-hmm. here, but I don't know how them streets are in Castle Rock.
Yeah, maybe somebody can let us know on the RamosLaw.com
yeah.
text line, 303-713-1043.
So, I don't know. Do we have more coming tonight?
That's
like,
the
is supposed
word.
To get dumped again on, or like what's going on here with the weather, because it's kind of been, it's just been like flurries a little bit, it looks like, with a little bit of sleet almost. It's so, but keep hearing that we might be getting hit again later on. So I don't want to be stuck in that.
That's the rumors. I do have some fun snow day stories, or maybe you tell me if they're fun or not. We'll get to that coming up. I want to talk about Mason Rudolph, though, still.
Okay.
I wasn't fully sold on him. I don't think you were either, but you're saying, hey, there's a guy you would take a chance on. Because, as we've been saying all week, we're picking at the dollar DVD rack and not the $5 DVD rack even anymore. But Tennessee gets him. Mason Rudolph joins the Titans for a one-year deal, $3.62 million. I'm confused at this one. That's about as minimum as you're going to get. That's less than what Jared Stidham is going to make this year. Why would they not be in on Mason Rudolph?
They must not like him. I would have been in on Mason Rudolph at that number.
Mm-hmm.
So it just tells me they don't like him. And so, like, you're not going to, even if it's cheap, if you don't like the guy, you're not sold on the guy that he could be your guy, then you just move on. And so it tells me Sean Payton just doesn't like Mason Rudolph. I need someone, anyone, Mason, Ryan, Justin,
Jimmy,
give me another, Taylor,
Sam. How?
Yeah, Sam.
You forgot about Sam.
Yeah. I was thinking Sam Darnold. I'm like, no, that ship has sailed.
We did have that conversation.
Right. Zach, not by.
Oh, Wilson.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't have another Wilson play quarterback for the Broncos.
Yeah, you said that.
Yeah.
And it's just too soon. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. So it's give me one. Let's go. Add to the room, whoever. Whoever it may be, we need to add to the group. And it's not like you're going to be paying a lot of money right now. I mean, you just saw Mason Rudolph, $3.5 million. And so it's that's kind of where I'm at here with the quarterback situation at Stidham. And you look at a guy like Mason Rudolph and what he did last year, and he took over, and I think they won their last three games with him as a starter in Pittsburgh, and he led them to the playoffs. And so he did a nice job for him when he took over there late in the season.
I got a question for you if the play is a quarterback in the draft, an old would you rather, the classic would you rather question, would you rather move up and get J.J. McCarthy or move back and get Bo Nix? So you're losing draft capital to go get J.J. You attain more if you move back to get Bo. What's the better play for the Broncos?
Move back and get Bo.
Because he's not, well, I guess TBD on the NFL level, but do you just don't see enough separation between who J.J. is as a quarterback and who Bo is as a quarterback?
Yeah, and I think it's how you evaluate him, obviously. How does Sean see him? Does he see a big gap between the two? Does he love one and like the other? Does he really like both? And I think that's the biggest, when you look at that question, that is how does Sean feel about these two guys? But for me, like, we need more draft picks. We need more draft capital. So I would prefer to move back. And if you could still move back, get more draft capital, and pick up a Bo Nix in the process, I could be sold on that. How about you?
Yeah, I'm more of the trade back and do it because, like I said, they need a little bit more help. And, man, I have really, especially with the news that we got last night of the $53 million going to be taken, the Broncos have taken the bigger cap hit for Russ this year and a smaller one next year. I'm pretty much in this mode of you're focusing on 25 to take the bigger jump that you can. So I don't want to give up anything else. I don't want to lose more draft capital moving forward.
Makes sense.
That's where I would be at. I don't, Broncos country, how would you feel about it? What would the play be? Back for Bo or up for J.J. In April's draft? All right, you want some updates on Castle Rock?
Yeah, give me the updates over there.
People
how are we looking?
Well, first, I got a text from Cello. Cello works here.
Yeah?
He also lives down in Castle Rock. He said Castle Rock got hammered, dude. But one texter, and they actually sent a photo, so I'll show
you.
Okay. Castle Rock roads are pretty good. That's Thomas.
All right.
Sent it in.
Okay.
And yeah, I mean, it looks slushy and kind of crappy, but.
Yeah, that's part of it. I need to get to the driveway.
Yeah.
Need to get to the driveway and
you
do
some
work.
You got some shoveling to do.
Yeah. No shoveling.
Oh, plowing. You got the snowblower.
Plowing, yeah.
How often does that thing not work?
Yeah, it does pretty good.
It does?
Yeah, it does pretty good. And so it's fingers crossed. I've had a couple instances where it's like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And then it ends up of working. Mm-hmm. You know, you push the button, you know, a couple times and get it primed and like, oh, I don't know what the heck I'm doing. You know, I'm just pushing, I'm pulling, and it's not working for a while. Then, but it always comes around.
Yeah.
It does, and so that's it's been all reliable for. I've had it for 5-6 years.
Oh,
now.
Dang, really?
Yeah.
So everybody I know that has one, they're like, yeah, I went to fire it up and it never starts. And I'm like, so it just sits in your garage and collects dust.
Yeah, no, mine's been good.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm happy with the purchase. So I want to fire that thing up and get to work and get that driveway plowed today. So I just don't know. I don't know what the neighborhood streets look like. That's always the big thing, mm-hmm. too, especially if you got, I don't know, what, 15, 18 inches in Castle Rock?
That's what it sounds like.
So that I'm worried about that. But that's all right. I don't know. I don't know if I want to do, I don't know if I want to gamble on that.
Risk reward.
Go home or just stay down here at the hotel.
Yeah.
And start the party early. Right. I don't know.
Yeah. Like our coworkers did yesterday.
Yeah.
We were late to the party yesterday.
Yeah. We were.
We didn't get invited to the party.
Oh, that's true. That true. Is true.
We didn't get that
They
email.
Continued
that's
the
true.
Party.
Right.
And it was like, wow, these people have had a good afternoon.
Yes, they have.
Good for them.
They certainly had. All right, real quick, I'll tell you. I was in high school, and my buddy Brian, who I was just telling you about during the break, we lived in the same neighborhood. So one of these big snowstorms come, and school shut down, everything's done, and it's like, hey, you got to get to Brian's. Brian's is the spot.
Oh, that's the spot
that's
to go
the spot.
To. Okay.
And I could walk, right? Because I live right on the street. So put your snowboarding gear on, and you just walk down there. And we end up... But so we all get there. And, dude, it was maybe the greatest snowstorm experience I had. Like, we're jumping off the roof into snow piles.
Oh,
at one point, we built, like, out of his bedroom window because the snow was so high, like a little snow ramp. And then we took the trucks off of our skateboards and we're, like, skating in and out of his house with the snow. It was awesome, dude.
Oh, that's cool. See, like, because... When you're at that age, like you're creative and you want to get out and do things,
yeah, yeah.
And you don't want to just hunker down. If you want to do some things, and so it's fun. Like I came to snow a little bit older. Like you know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
So I didn't have those experiences, but that seems like you like as a high school kid. You're
yeah,
like, all
like
right, let's
front
go.
Front flips off the roof,
right.
And stuff, dude. It was awesome.
I like it.
So you got no weather days?
No, not really. Stuff it was like hurricane weather.
Well, yeah,
evacuate.
Yeah,
we gotta go.
Dang. So yeah, you were just going to school all the time, no matter what.
Pretty much.
Man, tough
that
break.
That was it. Yeah,
tough break.
No snow days.
Yeah, yeah. That's you should have came out here earlier.
Yeah.
And now your kids get all.
And I don't even get snow days for work.
Yeah, they make us stay down here so we can work. Allow us to stay down here. That's what I should have
said.
That's
what you should
have. All right, what are you doing today? How are you enjoying or maybe you're not enjoying the snow? Plus, let us know how those roads are looking out there. When we get back, we're going to check in with our Broncos insider. Mike Kliss of 9 News is with us next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
All right, we go to the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. That's where we find our Broncos insider from 9 News. He's Mike Kliss, and he's with us thanks to Fitness Gallery. Kliss, you staying safe? You staying warm today?
Yeah, I am. We had had the dreaded neighbor's bush or tree. Break over our fence. And, you gotta deal with that kind of thing. But I was able to shovel the path for the dog.
There you go.
To do her business. You know, we don't worry about human beings coming up the driveway or the sidewalk. We worry about the dog in the backyard. So it's kind of funny when you shovel a backyard. But that's what we do.
That's right. You got to take care of the business for the pups. All right. Well, glad to know you're safe. You're all right and surviving through the storm. Mike, are you surprised here that the Broncos still don't have a quarterback?
A little. I mean, they tried with Sam Darnold a little bit, and the price tag went more than they wanted. You know, what they want is for this next quarterback and Jarrett Stidham to compete for the job and then take that quarterback in the first round with that number 12 pick, whether they move up to get their guy, if they can't get him, move back and get another guy, pick up an extra pick. But, you know, I think they're going to end up with a quarterback in the first round one way or the other. But they did want another veteran to compete with Stidham. The problem with Darnold is he was getting $10 million, and he wound up getting it from the Vikings. And, you know, it wouldn't have been I think part of the Broncos' resistance to that was, first of all, $10 million is a lot for a backup quarterback. And secondly, you know, if Stidham's making $6 million and Darnold's making $10 million, it's not really going to be a fair competition. And I do think that Sean Payton is leaning towards Jarrett Stidham being the opening day quarterback, or at least having the lead going into training camp. I think they still will get a quarterback, a veteran, before this is all said and done. But then the other thing I heard was that Darnold definitely wanted the Vikings over the Broncos. You know, I think there's maybe a perception out there that the Broncos are, I don't want to say a mess, but in transition, shall we say. Mm-hmm. And you know, a lot of people are baffled by the Russ release, the dead cap situation. You release Justin Simmons, and the perception, right or wrong, the Broncos might have a plan. They might very well know what they're doing. But from the outside, there's a lot of head scratching going on. And so I think Darnold wanted the Vikings situation.
Well, I mean, would you rather throw the football to Justin Jefferson and TJ Hockenson, or throw it to, I don't know, Cortland and insert any tight end, right? So I think it's a pretty easy decision there for Sam Darnold. Mike, the list is getting short, buddy. I mean, there's not many veteran quarterbacks left. Like, who is it going to be? Do you have a name for us that, hey, keep an eye out for this guy? Because, like, all these guys are getting scooped up. That's why I'm concerned that, like, we're not going to have any real competition for Stidham here.
Yeah, before the three names I heard before free agency began, the Saturday, Sunday before the negotiating period opened Monday, were Darnold and Jacoby Brissett and Jimmy Garoppolo. Ooh. And all but Garoppolo are gone. Brissett signed for $8 million with New England, which is another surprising figure. So I don't know where they're at with Jimmy G, you know, with the two-game suspension. You know, obviously they could have had him done if they wanted to by now. They may be waiting on some of these guys for trade. You saw Desmond Ridder. I don't think he was on the Broncos' radar. But, you know, Justin Fields, heard Trey Lance a little bit, you know, which I can see as maybe a gadget-type guy, possibly. That's kind of spitballing right there. But, you know, he had Taysom Hill in New Orleans, Sean Payton did. And Trey Lance hasn't played in a couple of years. And I doubt it's Trey Lance. But
Mike, what about Justin Fields? Any chance there at all trading for Justin Fields?
It's going to be hard to do Justin Fields because he's the best of the tradable guys. I heard Zach Wilson a little bit too. But it's going to be hard for Justin Fields because he's going to my feeling is the Bears are going to want pretty decent amount in return, a lot of value back in return. And the Broncos, you know, draft capital wise, just don't have that. They have they're not giving up the first round pick because they want a quarterback. They don't have a second round pick, so they kind of have to start with a third. And I'm not sure that's enough to satisfy the Bears. And, you know, Fields, the Broncos passed on him once already, right? For Surtain.
Right.
And in the 2021 draft. So, not sure about that one. So, you got Tannehill still out there, but I heard he was wanting, you know, $10 million like Sam Darnold was. So, and again, I don't think the Broncos are wanting to go there with the type of quarterback they're wanting to bring in. So we'll see. Gosh, there's another name on the trading block that
Sam Howell.
Yeah, Sam Howell's the other one. Sam Howell would make, you know, if Washington made him available now that they have Marcus Mariota to go along with their number two pick, that's either going to be Caleb Williams, you know, Jaden Daniels or Drake May. You know, if Sam Howell becomes available, then he would make sense. And he had like four really good games last year. And then about four or five games where, you know, he didn't have the sense. He's got a literal blind spot. He doesn't see the pass rush coming from his blind side, and he doesn't just get sacked, to which he did 65 times last year, but he gets obliterated. Mm. And but maybe Sean Payton can work with him a little bit. I think that's a possibility that the Broncos go to the trade market to get another quarterback, and that'll take some time. That takes a lot of back and forth.
Last one for you real quick, Mike. Cortland Sutton and that bonus he's due, $2 million coming up on Sunday. Well, what's the conversation around Corden? Is he back for sure, or are they still exploring their options?
Yeah, no, he's back from the Broncos' point of view. Well, you know, Cortland is, you know, I don't know what's going on there. I'm aware of the social media. I don't know what he's made some protests there on social media.
Yep.
Had some cryptic messages, but the Broncos plan on bringing him back. You know, he's good. He's a good receiver. And him, you know, the three in question were him, DJ Jones, Garrett Bowles, and right now all three of them are coming back, and would anticipate that. Not a whole lot, you know, after they took the $53 million dead cap hit for 2024. You know, I heard they wanted an inside linebacker who could run a little bit, a little faster than Josie, and they fell short. I'm not sure who it was, but they fell short. He went, that inside linebacker went somewhere else. So I don't know. You know, it seems to me like the Broncos aren't going to be doing a whole lot more spending, maybe two or three more players. And then the draft.
All right. Well, that draft is now where Broncos country hopes a quarterback comes to Denver. Mike Kliss with us every single Thursday, thanks to Fitness Gallery. Kliss, keep up the great work. We'll be following along on Twitter to see what the latest is.
Appreciate you guys.
Mike Kliss at Mike Kliss 9 News on Twitter. All right, let's react to a few things that he had to say. He threw a quarterback's name out there that we haven't talked about yet and referred to him as maybe a gadget guy. Is that in the works? We'll discuss next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Segment on a Thursday. We just had a conversation with Mike Kliss, our 9 News Broncos insider. He obviously talked to us about the quarterback situation and the names he heard early, and he was talking about it as before the tampering window opened this Monday at 10 a.m. Those names were Sam Darnold, Jacoby Brissett, and Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo is the only one available, but does have to serve a 2-game suspension. And then he also mentioned, this was kind of just Mike throwing some stuff out there of like, maybe it's a possibility, Trey Lance from San Francisco, now with Dallas after he was traded there, has not played a lot of football at the quarterback position.
Is that important?
And he, it's important to me, okay. Yeah. He used the term gadget guy. And again, this is maybe just Kliss thinking out loud that Trey Lance could be somebody that, you know, we're at the dollar DVD rack. He's down there somewhere. You have any interest in Trey Lance?
None. No. No. Absolutely not. I don't like gadget guy. What has he done that's ever been like successful in the NFL? Like a gadget or no gadget? I just think that it's not a fit here. Not where we're at. And the position that the Broncos are in. I mean, what are you going to trade for Trey Lance? A what? An 8th round pick?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll give you an eighth rounder.
Yeah.
Okay. In 2050. All right. Yeah. I mean, they just traded for him.
Mm-hmm.
So why are they going to turn around? They're probably trying to develop him as a good backup for Dak. So it doesn't make a whole lot of sense that they would trade him for nothing. No one's going to give you anything for Trey Lance right now. So just not a fit for me. No, thank you.
Okay.
You're interested?
No. Okay. I thought that the San Francisco 49ers made a huge mistake giving up everything they did to go get him. What was he, the third overall pick?
Early.
In the draft, and then obviously. And that's something like we give them a pass because they found Brock Purdy. But, man, that's a terrible move from John Lynch and the San Francisco 49ers. He also mentioned Tannehill, who we've talked about before. I don't like him either. And at $10 million, get the heck right out of here, Mr. Tannehill.
Yeah. No, we're good. I don't see that happening for him. You know, in his situation, it doesn't look like that's going to happen. I mean, to be a backup.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of options out there where teams could get better deals on. And you saw Marcus Mariota go somewhere to Washington. Is that where he went?
Yeah.
Mariota. You've seen who went to the Giants? Someone went to the
Giants.
Drew Lock. Mm-hmm. I mean, so there's better deals out there where teams are looking like, would we rather pay Mason Rudolph 3.5 or pay Ryan Tannehill 10? You know, those types of situations. And it's that's just a big number for Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, that's a bad number for Ryan Tannehill. And then it's the rest of the guys that we've talked about, trading for Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, Sam Howe, or rolling with a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo. And then you're starting Jared Stidham for the first 2 weeks. And then if Jimmy's able to beat him out, then he would be the starter for the remainder of the season. I actually am not that down on Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm not high on Jimmy Garoppolo by any means. But, you know, again, picking at the dollar DVD rack, I might pick that thing up and go watch it a couple of times.
I don't know.
He played in a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I get it with good coaching. No. And he certainly coached up. But, hey, Sean, you do that now.
I just don't think he's always hurt. He's hurt a lot. But if you're looking to get a young quarterback to pair him with the veteran presence there, then he's a guy you got to have on the list. It just sitting out the first 2 weeks of the season is not ideal for him, certainly. I don't know if he can practice or not. I don't know what that looks like, but that's not ideal situation to bring in a quarterback. What is he going to compete with? Jared Stidham, what if he wins the competition? Well, you can't start first week of the season because you're suspended. So that's not an ideal situation. There's just not many great options. There wasn't any, you know, there wasn't great options to begin with for the Broncos, and now it's less and less, obviously. Mm-hmm. So, but Mike seems to think that they're going to – he's kind of going down the road that we've been going down. Hey, we're going to get a quarterback here. In free agency, a veteran guy, but also we're going to draft a quarterback at that 12 in the first round. Whether mm-hmm. you move up a little bit, stay at 12, or move back.
Yep. What do you think, Broncos country? You like any of the names that we just talked about that Cliss floated out as possibilities, or are you just ready to roll with Jared Stidham, Ben DiNucci, and whomever they are able to acquire with the 12th pick or at some point in the 2024 draft with one of their 8 picks? Going back a quick second, Stoke, we talked about rule changes. A couple things were proposed: trade deadline, onside kick, challenging plays inside of 2 minutes. All of that stuff was proposed by NFL teams, and we asked some of the texters to send one in. We got a late entry here from the 988. Rule change: instead of a coin flip, arm wrestle.
There we go.
You just arm wrestle.
Perfect.
Biggest dude versus the biggest dude.
I like that. Yeah.
Backwards trucker hat like that Stallone movie, and then boom.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
What was that?
I like
movie?
That. Over the Top.
Over the Top. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at you. You know that one. Dang. Uh-huh. That's impressive.
Every now and then.
Yeah. I would be down for that. I love watching giant dudes wrestle.
Yeah. What was the. There was one where you would settle the game with a field goal kicking competition.
Oh, really?
So if it ends up being tied,
yeah,
you know, because you can still tie.
Which is ridiculous.
In regular season, right. It's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, when you take a step back and think about that, you're going to have a tie in football?
Yeah.
Like, why? That's why? That's just dumb.
It is.
There's no tying in football.
There should be no tying in sports.
There should be no tying in sports. Agree. So it's like, okay, you go through the overtime, 10 minutes or whatever it is, and they made it a lot shorter. And, you know, used to you just roll into the second overtime and player safety, yada, yada, yada. Got it. But then what you do is you have a kickoff. It's almost like hockey, sudden death.
Yeah.
Shootout, right? Now you have a kickoff. See who wins it.
So like,
I don't know, 50 yarders?
And then move back?
Best out of five. No, best out of five.
Oh, okay.
Or you move back.
So like if I make a 50, you make a 50, we go to 55.
Yeah.
If I make a 55, you make a 55, we go to 60.
Yeah.
I actually am kind of into that.
That would be kind of entertaining, though. I mean,
that would make kickers valuable.
Right. Yeah.
More valuable. They're somewhat valuable now.
Yeah, just when you need them.
When you need them, yeah.
Yeah, when the game's on the line.
Yeah.
Like, if they make it, you win. If they miss it, you lose. Then they're pretty valuable.
Yeah,
then.
Yeah.
But or, that would be fun.
You want to be entertaining, like, let's get a wide receiver out there. Kick a field goal, buddy.
We saw a safety kick for the Texans last year or the year before.
And made it.
Yeah. That was last year, right?
It was last year. They were all fired up, remember?
Yeah. No, he did a good job.
Yeah.
So that would be an interesting way to settle a tie. Mm-hmm. And that's it. If it's a tie, you got to do something a little bit different. Because you can't tie. You just can't tie.
Tying, yeah, that's
no,
weak.
No, it's ridiculous.
That is weak. That is very, very weak. Mike texts in and says, you guys need to start preparing yourself for Stidham, DiNucci, and a rookie quarterback.
Oh, man. Please, no.
Every second that goes by and another quarterback gets taken off the board, I'm with Mike. I'm preparing myself for that.
I just can't see it. I just can't. I'm thinking about it.
And it's going down.
And I just can't see that they can talk themselves into that. You got to add another guy to the list. DiNucci is not, he's just not, okay, just not even close to remotely being serviceable for the Broncos. So you're pretty much just giving it to Stidham.
Yeah.
Unless you throw the rookie out there early.
Well, also, there's another question to that. What would the timeline look like?
Well, it depends. Timeline on starting the rookie?
Right.
Yeah, it just depends on, you know, where he's at. You don't want to throw him out there just to throw him out there just early because he is your quarterback. You want to put him in the right possible situation. Look, we all know Mahomes. He didn't play until the Broncos game when they rested the starters. It worked out for him. Peyton Manning, like, played from day one.
Mm-hmm.
Threw, I think it was 100 interceptions his rookie year. It ended up working out well for both of those guys. So there's not one correct answer here. You know, you gotta evaluate your guy and try to put him in the best case, the best possible situation to be successful. And everyone's different and unique. So
okay.
I think it just depends on who that guy is.
All right. We'll, of course, continue this conversation when, if someday the Broncos do find a quarterback to bring in and compete against one Jared Stidham. For tonight, Stoke, what are we watching? What are we getting ready for? You know what it is? It's college hoops night. That's what it is tonight. The Rams are advancing. They got a win yesterday over San Jose State. They're now going to play number 2 Nevada, 6 o'clock, CBS Sports Network. Stay up a little later. You got CU, a 3 seed, who is going to take on Utah, who beat Arizona State last night. That's FS1 at 8:30 tonight. So it's a big college.
KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver.
Dang it.
Kisner, give it to me.
Did you?
You were spying it.
Yeah, no, he saw me looking.
Oh,
he didn't know me. I don't want help. Dude.
I thought he helped you.
No. Nobody helps me. I don't want help. I'm just gonna win it. I'm gonna do it the right way. Right? I don't want help from anybody else.
You titted yesterday, but
yeah. Well, yesterday was close.
There was a referee called. He did.
A little bit of a false start yesterday.
Yeah.
Today, not so much. Right on. You were talking about something about college basketball.
But yeah, I'm all in on on basketball tonight. Rammies 6, Buffs 8:30, FS1 and CBS Sports Network. Both win, they go to the Final Four of their conference tournaments.
Love it. So. That would be a good thing, obviously. So no Nuggets, no Avs tonight. And so we've got some college action.
That's right. We'll get
and
ready
hopefully
for it.
We're not snowed in again.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I'm looking at right now, thinking about what I should do, how I should navigate them roads, them streets at Castle Rock.
We're going to have to ask Matt Smith. Did you drive from Boulder today? So he came
good.
Down from
I-25?
Boulder. I-25? And he seems like everything's all right. So I think you'd be okay.
The neighborhood, though.
Yeah.
Get to it. Castle, wake up. Why? Like, get the neighborhood streets plowed. Yeah. If I get all the way to the neighborhood and I can't get through the streets of the Pines, then, like, what am I going to do? Just turn around?
Turn around.
I don't know what they're doing over there.
You know, if you were a nicer guy, you'd probably have a neighbor you could just call and say, hey, how's the neighborhood? But, you know, you're the old Grinch that lives down at the end of the road that has the beware of dog signs. He doesn't even have a dog.
I do have a neighbor, and he loves me, and that's my guy. And he has also went to UL Lafayette.
Oh,
right. The same school as I did.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's my neighbor. And so I did text him about the neighborhood.
Okay, so
and he did respond to me, and he said they haven't plowed yet. How can you not plow? That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to, you know, light a fire on someone's rear end over there in Castle Pines. Stoke. Let's go, wake up.
Now, you don't have something outside on your fence saying beware of dog and don't have dogs, do you?
No, I got a little micro sheepadoodle. So, yeah, I got a little one.
Vicious.
Vicious.
No soliciting,
vicious.
Huh?
No soliciting. Don't come to my house.
I got one.
I don't want anybody coming up to my house. Nah, I ain't gonna lie.
You.
No,
I feel you.
Don't
walk
over.
Except for the snowplow guy.
Yeah, no, that's me. That's me.
Oh, well, you get, it's your
I'm
fault.
I'm doing the driveway.
Well, it's your fault that the roads aren't cleared then.
Well,
you got your snowblower. Tell Lana to get out there.
Oh, wow. Goodness gracious.
So the HOA, do they make you guys shovel you guys' sidewalks at least?
No sidewalks by me. Okay. So I don't have any sidewalks by me.
He's got just a moat.
It's
a moat around his
boat, and I pull up the bridge.
That's right.
Just the driveway, man. I just got to take care of the driveway.
Moat.
But we
the
were
moat
we
and
were
the drawbridge.
We were down here last night, hanging out down here. Which
sounds
was,
like you guys had a nice sleepover last
which
night,
which was great. Yeah. So didn't have to really worry about the snow. I just, you know, we're just looking outside. Haven't been out there in a while, but not too bad.
No, it's not. And, you know, the roads are all clear. Now it's a little slushy. You know,
slushy. Yeah.
But
yeah.
All right, just please. You
are
know,
we supposed to be getting some more?
Yeah.
That's what we're hearing. Is that the worst of it apparently is coming tonight.
Tonight.
That's what they're telling me.
Right.
Although I felt like I tempted the weather gods enough yesterday with all my fake snow totals. So
dude, I almost text you when you guys were talking. I'm like,
enough.
I'm preparing now just because of how anti you are of this. he was like, it's not even gonna snow. It's rain.
It's gonna be a little rain. No worries. No, I woke up to a lot of snow. But the roads are fine. It's too warm. The road, it's not cold enough to really be overly sticking to the roads. Now the side roads out there. That's where it gets a little greasy, for sure. That got a little sketch this morning in the old work van.
Yeah.
Hey, shout out to the truckers though. The truckers are out there plowing the snow
and even
the trucks out there moving the snow around.
Yeah.
So
you know why they haven't been to Castle Rock in your neighborhood yet? Because they've got other places to be. They've got to clear through traffic for the rest of Colorado. You over there worrying about yourself. Think about the common man, Stoke.
No comment.
No comment.
Stoke's over there in Castle Rock on the highest mountain.
Yeah.
All right, so talk to me. You guys, I heard, had quite the soiree last night. You closed down the old barski over there.
Yeah.
So talk to me about what you saw, because we had two really, really impressive performances, Nuggets and Avs.
I mean, the Avs, to me, was more impressive. How they came back from 3-0 to Vancouver.
Right. Yeah.
You know, you weren't playing some a bad team there. So you're behind the 8-ball 3-0, and you come back, and you're able to get it to overtime and win it. But that goal with 3 seconds left, it looked like it was 1.4 seconds left to go in the second. That was it. I mean, you don't score a goal there, you're not going to come back and beat that team. They found a way to get the puck in the net, and then they do what they did in the third, man. And so to me, against a good, really good hockey team, to be able to come back from that deficit, that was two thumbs up. Very, very impressive and encouraging.
Yeah, the win for the Avs was absolutely outstanding. I will say the takeaway from the Nuggets, though, is, and we talked about it earlier, of when their opponent turns it on, or you know, they give their full effort, it just engages the Nuggets. And they're better than everyone else. So the best effort put forth from the opponent brings out the best from the Denver Nuggets, and they're unbeatable when they're like that. And that's what I saw last night with Miami. And they started hot, let Miami hang around. I thought the bench was pretty well again last night, keeping a
24 bench
lead.
Points
yeah.
in 100, what they score, 100 points and a 24 off the bench.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
That's rare for the Denver Nuggets right
but
now.
But it was like, what, 6.5, where the bench kind of like sputtered for a little while and then turned it on?
You're right, Phil.
Half.
I mean, they missed like 4 straight threes in that second quarter, and that's what allowed Miami to get back in it.
That's exactly right, because the Nuggets got off to a really good start last night. The bench just didn't pull their weight. But in the second half, How do we convince Christian Brown that he's playing against the Miami Heat every night? Because he's a different guy. He's aggressive. He doesn't think twice. You could see him thinking out there on the floor offensively sometimes, but against Miami, he's just got to let it fly, and he's the best version of himself. I think that's some really good tape to kind of clip it, bottle it, and take it with you type of situation. And also, Reggie Jackson, that moment at the end of the game where, you know, he comes off the bench and Jamal and KCP are telling Malone, no, come on, man. Let him go. And that comes on the heels of the Utah game or the Toronto game where Jokic came back in with 4:30 left?
It was Utah.
It was Utah, right? Oh, yeah. He brings him in with 4:30 left, and then he takes that weird whack on the hand from John Calipari.
And he was shaking it. And
like, that's a risk you don't need, and you've got a 17-point lead. And I thought Michael Malone's players last night did him a solid and said, Coach, you know what? We don't... You can rely on those guys too, and you can give us a night off. But he put in
Jamal again late with a couple minutes left in the game, and at that point he's stretching, and it's like they're not going to lose this game, Michael Malone. They're not going to lose it. They're just not. You know, it's not like it's a 6-point game. He's still up by like 10. He just gets so nervous, but the guy's been sitting what's felt like 20 minutes of real time.
It was a mistake,
and now you're going to put him back. He's had ham. He's had other injuries. Just. At that point, once you commit to sitting him that long, you gotta let him run his course and just keep him on the bench.
You don't cash that bet out.
You know
what I mean? Like,
no, you don't.
I love that you brought up that he's stretching. Because there he is on the bench stretching, and we're talking about, okay, here's a guy with shin splints, and he's with the knee injuries,
and had hammies. He was trying to tell Malone something. Hey, man, if I got to stretch, don't put me back out there.
He's looking like Billy Hoyle, getting ready for his pickup game.
But, Josh, to what you said about them being unbeatable, they're unbeatable, of course, but especially when someone like MPJ is averaging the 20 points now. Like, where has that been all along, right, this year? All of a sudden, he comes off that All-Star break, and maybe he went and did some, you know, Wusan or drinking some good juju. He's firing, man, on all cylinders, which is great to see.
I got to share some news with you guys.
Oh, hit us.
Uh-oh.
The list of potential Broncos quarterbacks got shorter.
Oh. Can I guess? Hold on, let's guess. Yeah. So let's say who else on the board. Okay, so Jimmy G's on the board. Ryan Tannehill's on the board. We've got the tradable guys. Because that's pretty much it for the free agents, right?
You've
got Easton Stick, maybe, or like Brian Hoyer, maybe the small guys. Because even Josh Johnson re-signed in Baltimore today. So the tradable guys, Ritter went to Arizona for Rondale Moore. So now you got Zach Wilson. Now you've got
Justin Fields. Maybe Sam Howell.
And maybe Sam Howell.
Those three.
Ryan Tannehill, for me, is who my guess is.
For real?
That is off the list.
Garoppolo.
I don't know, man, at this point.
It's Sam.
Really?
Sam Howell just got traded from Washington to Seattle. Seattle's going to get Howell, a fourth-round pick, and a sixth-round pick. The Commanders are getting a third-round pick and a fifth-round pick.
Okay.
That's a great deal for Washington.
And guess what, man? I heard that Zach Wilson put his house up for sale.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Well, I'm surprised he didn't do that a long time ago.
He was all about hope.
I guess.
Well, I think when you look at Sam Howell, I mean, you're picking a quarterback at number two.
Yeah.
So he was your young quarterback last year in his second year, and now he's done. Mm. So you can move up in two rounds from a fourth rounder to a third rounder, from a fifth rounder to a fourth rounder, and you're turning the page on him anyway and going with either Jaden Daniels or May.
Yeah.
Drake May.
Mariota also just signed there, 1 year, $8 million.
Yeah.
And I was telling Phil, speculation.
You got $8 million?
You got $8 million. That's why the Broncos.
Quarterbacks, man.
I'm telling you, that is why the Broncos have not made a move. That's why they haven't made a move. They
don't want to pay a guy like Mason Rudolph for 3.5.
But they figured, did you read Kliss's report? Kliss's report, I know you guys just talked to him, but he put the line in his report that I thought was interesting when referencing Mason Rudolph, that Jared Stidham has had more recent success, which, and maybe that was on Kliss's part, or maybe that was the Broncos' reasoning, but, I mean, do we not remember Mason Rudolph finishing last season on a pretty solid high note for him personally after doing nothing?
Yeah,
three wins into the playoffs.
That's more than Jared Stidham's ever done, right?
I don't think Jared Stidham has ever had success.
Okay. All right, I just wanted to make sure.
He won against the Chargers.
I mean, against Easton Stick.
Some small success. Yeah,
he beat a guy that's named after a hockey stick.
So
Sam's gone now.
Yeah.
All right, so that means that more signs are pointing towards they're definitely in the first round for a quarterback here.
I think it's quarterback roulette in the first round.
Whoever's there,
brother.
Are they going to move up?
That's the thing. They might move up. They might move back. But for me right now,
Bo Nix,
with what you're seeing, they are definitely taking a quarterback in the first round.
It feels a lot like Bo Nix.
Bo Nix, J.J. McCarthy, or Penix. I don't think they really care.
So we did this experiment yesterday, and we tried to figure out what the cost would be to move up from 12 to 6. Apparently, we had to go back to actually the 2021 draft with Micah Parsons.
Okay.
So I think it was the Cowboys or the Eagles traded for 12, because that's where Micah Parsons ended up, you know, getting selected. I can't remember. We're going to have to pull it back up who they traded with at 6. But essentially what it all resulted...
Was it the Giants?
It might have been the Giants, Phil. It might have been the Giants. I'm going to have to go back and look up the team they traded for. But essentially they moved 12, next year's first, and a third that same year. So a 1 and a 3 in that draft, and then a 1 next year to move from 12 to 6. Mm. So if you want J.J. McCarthy, a comparable at least asking price might be 12 overall, next year's first, and at least 1/3 this year.
Gotcha.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you willing to do that, Stokes?
Yeah.
Mm. You give up next year's first?
Yeah, I'm willing to do it if you love him. Mm.
That's what
my biggest objective right now for 2024 is find a quarterback. Got to find a quarterback. And if Sean Payton loves him, okay, let's go get the quarterback. Now, if you don't love the guy, then no, I don't want to do that. Of course I don't. I don't want to give away another first-round pick, but we need a quarterback. And so I want something to be happy about this year. I want something to watch and to, like at least bring us to the stadium. And some excitement, like, we got J.J. McCarthy. Okay, let's take a look at this guy. So
if they move up, then I told Matt they love a quarterback. But if they move down, like I think Matt is okay with them doing, they don't love that quarterback. They don't love any quarterbacks in that.
That's right.
And now we're going to be sitting here kind of sad for this year because they're just picking anybody.
But I go back to the Andy Dufresne. I go back to the Andy Dufresne. Sometimes the best way out is through.
Yeah.
That ought to be our slogan for training camp 2024. The best way out is through. Because what else you got to do? I mean, that was essentially what they told us yesterday was their plan at the beginning of free agency. They're taking the 52 this year. It's the responsible thing to do. They're rebuilding, and that's what they're telling us. And I've actually kind of seen this collection, and we talked to the text line yesterday about this too, this collection of Broncos country saying, finally. They're rebuilding,
right.
Which I didn't really think existed in the droves that it did. But a bunch of people and numbers came to the forefront yesterday where I thought you and I were a bit surprised going, okay, people really understand what's going on around here and are ready to turn the page.
They've seen them do it the same way, to put a Band-Aid on it. Oh, veteran quarterback's going to pop. They're going to figure it out with this guy. They've seen them do that and fail at it 6-7 different times in an 8-year period. I think people are just say, try something else. Yeah. And we'll be on board with that. And that's why I wouldn't do the trade-up, because I'm all in on 25. Like, I want draft capital. I want financial capability.
You want the trade down.
Yeah, I'm trading back out of 12.
Same page. That's at least me. But I understand where Stokes coming from, because, you know, you got to give it a crack at some point. And if it doesn't work, I wonder if it doesn't work, are you that pot committed to that guy where you don't go back to the well next year if it's not a fit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not exactly sure, but time will tell, certainly. Good show, boys. We enjoyed it.
Appreciate
good
y'all.
Stuff with Kliss. Have a fun round two tonight, no question. And Stoke, best of luck digging yourself out. Maybe the dog can help you. Phil and I will break down the Nuggets. They beat the Heat in South Beach last night, 100-88. Number one in the NBA post All-Star break. We'll give you all the details next.